Guys, I am excited. I hope that you are too. The Lord has a word for us today. He's been speaking to us. If you can click that graphic there, thank you. Today we're going to continue on in our I Am Statement series. This is Jesus' seven I Am Statements. And before I get there, I just want to say it's an honor to be with you today. Like, it's not just a responsibility that I carry and I have to be up here on Sundays. Rather, it's an honor to be up here on Sunday morning to share the word with you, to preach what the Lord has put on my heart for this church at this time and for this people. And so as we look over the last few weeks, what we have gone through, and if you haven't been here, it's okay. Each sermon will stand on its own. But to recap the first three of the I Am statements, week one was the bread of life. And that is that Jesus satisfies our souls. He is what brings satisfaction. Week two, he said, I am the door. And what does that mean? That means he's the only way in. That he is the way in. Week three, he says, I am the good shepherd. He knows us, he stays with us, and he laid down his life for us. And last week, or 2 weeks ago, we looked at how shepherds would literally sometimes give their life to protect their flocks. And so today's I Am statement, you can go ahead and open your Bible and get ready to turn there. We're going to be in John chapter 11 today. But today's I Am statement occurs during a crisis. And that crisis is Lazarus has just passed away. Lazarus is dead. And Jesus showed up late on purpose. We'll see that here in a minute. And here's what I want us all to wrestle with today. I want us to wrestle with this statement because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. That is our I Am statement, okay? So because he is the resurrection and life, I know that death isn't the end of my story. Wrestle with that as we go through today's sermon. And if we take that, that changes how we face loss, doesn't it? Knowing that Jesus is what's final over all things, we know that we can face loss, we can handle disappointment, and now we can walk in faith because Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm curious, and if you want to raise your hand, do so, but because I think it just brings a relatable moment to this right now. Have you ever found yourself asking Jesus, where were you? Why weren't you here? Anybody? I prayed. I had faith. I reached out to you. You didn't respond fast enough. Have you ever told Jesus he didn't respond fast enough? Come on, right? We have a time frame, and we all know that that's not God's time frame, right? Sometimes it's in the waiting that we grow closer to him, that we learn to rely more on him, that we have more faith in who he is amongst the situation that we're walking. So in our scripture today, you're going to see that same type of question. You're going to see the heart cry that both Martha and Mary had. Martha and Mary were Lazarus's sisters. And perhaps you're even here today and you're asking Jesus that same question. Where were you? Jesus, where are you at right now in this moment that I am walking? It creates a little bit of tension, doesn't it? Jesus, where were you? So if you've got your Bible open to John chapter 7, we'll find our main text is verses 17 through 27, and it'll also be up on the screen if you don't have your Bible with you today. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Mary and Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Martha. But even now, she says, even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Go back to verse 24. What did she say? I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Now it's interesting here. Jesus asks her a question now. He says to her, do you believe this? He has just made a statement about who he is, what he is, and then he says, do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. There's a lot to unpack there this morning, but we're going to focus on the topic of Jesus being the resurrection and the life. And so to give some contextual background here so we have an idea of the full story of our scripture here, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days by the time Jesus arrives. And at this point, all hope is but lost for Martha and Mary. If you experience loss, there's really not a whole lot of hope, is there? In our minds, that is a final thing, right? Jesus didn't prevent Lazarus' death. And if we were to go back earlier in chapter 11, we're going to see, in fact, we'll get there, it was a divine setup. So Jesus had this. He knew that this was a way to reveal God's glory to the people. And in an earlier verse, if you've still got your Bible open, look at verse 4. When Jesus had learned that Lazarus was sick, he said this in John 4. When he heard this, Jesus said, This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. He's already predicted the outcome that is coming from this today. But what happened? Lazarus died. But Jesus just said it won't end up in death. But Lazarus still died, didn't he? Lazarus died. And Jesus showed up 4 days after he died. And it was to do this. It was to reveal something greater. God's glory. It was to reveal that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. What they thought was the end wasn't actually the end at all. What Martha and Mary thought was a final thing, we won't see him again until the resurrection and the last day, Jesus says, just wait, I've got something for you. And that's what I want us to have this moment teach us today, is even when something feels final, guess what? It's not final with him. Death is not the end of our story. Now, Martha's interaction, we're going to see more as we go forward here, but her interaction with Jesus is full of faith, but also I would suggest that a little bit of confusion. And maybe that's a picture perfect, maybe that is a picture perfect scenario for some of the believers in here today. Maybe you have faith, but there's confusion. You're walking through something that you're not sure why you're walking through it right now. Remember, Jesus was there to reveal something greater about himself through the death of Lazarus. So Jesus already stated this isn't going to end in death. And so our first point today is this. Jesus reveals who he is. Jesus reveals to Martha who he is. Notice that when Jesus is talking with Martha, he doesn't say the word, I will give resurrection. He doesn't say, I will do this or this will, but he says instead, in verse 25, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, Martha, and perhaps even some of us here today, we can look at the resurrection at an event. Maybe we open up our calendars on our phone and we scroll to whatever month and year we think the Lord's coming. Some people think he's going to be here today. Some think in 2,000 years. Who knows? The Bible says, just be ready. Doesn't matter about the day or time. That's not for us to be concerned about. It's just for us to be ready. And so the resurrection, you might be thinking it's just a specific date, and it's a specific time that's sometime on God's calendar, when in reality, what we need to understand that is that the resurrection is a person, and that person is Christ Jesus. It is in Jesus Christ that resurrection is found. Today, Jesus' I am statement, it puts his identity as the resurrection and the life. It defines our future. It defines our hope for the future, and it even gives us hope right now in the present. Listen, if you're walking around hopeless, I'm going to suggest you try more of Jesus. To be absent from this body means what? To be present with the Lord. How many would like to be present with the Lord this morning? Every hand should have gone up, I'm just saying, right? It is far better than what we're walking through right now. Even though life is good, we're in little old New Sharon. There's not a whole lot that happens here. Life is pretty good. Life with Jesus is better. Okay? Jesus told Martha, your brother will rise again. Little did she understand what Jesus meant was, he's coming back to life today. His claim is more than a comforting call to faith. It is a way for us to dive in to our faith even more. See, when Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, he is not pointing to some far-off, distant event. He is revealing who he is right now. In him, life begins where death tried to win. Death didn't defeat Christ. Christ defeated death. Right? Paul says this of Christ in 1 Corinthians 15:21-22. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Because of Jesus' death, because of Jesus, death does not get the final word. Guess who does? He does. Jesus gets the final say over our situation. And so the question that we have to ask today, and I believe we're faced with having to answer it, it is this. Do we believe in a future event only, or do we believe in the person who holds the power over death today? Resurrection isn't just a future. It's not an event down the road that we can plan for. It's today. If Jesus is the resurrection and the life like he claims, can we not trust him? We can put all of our trust in him if he is the resurrection and the life. Even in your worst moments, even through the hardest thing that you are walking through, Lord knows exactly what each one of you are facing right now in life. He already knows. He knows the battles that you're fighting in your head. He knows the family distancing that's taken place. He knows the neighborly disputes. I don't know if there is any, but listen, the Lord knows. He knows. So even in the worst moment, you're not at the end. There is hope. And it is in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus is the resurrection and life, you have a future even while you're in your darkest moment. Because of Jesus, There is a hope and a future, even though you are walking through your darkest moment. You can't see your way out. You don't know what's taking place. Jesus does, and he's in it with you. You have a future. You have a hope. Our second point today, we just got done talking about the things that we're walking through. Jesus meets us in the pain. Jesus meets us in our pain. Mary and Martha have just experienced a tremendous loss. They lost their brother, and they had been dealing with their grief for 4 days. If you will, just for fun, imagine with me, I'm not trying to make light of anybody's loss, but listen, if you have experienced grief for 4 days, the realization kind of hits that this is done, right? This is final. There's not a comeback from this. That's why Martha said, Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. So they had been dealing with their grief for 4 days already. You can almost hear it in Martha's voice when she says, and if you can just imagine, she's going through grief right now. She says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. See, that tells us that Martha knew that he could prevent death, but she had no idea what he could do after death. Jesus reveals to us today that he is actually over death, that he has the final say. So if we pick up in our story, listen, if you've got your Bible open still, John chapter 11, we're going to jump into verse 32 here. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was, Mary, not Martha, Mary's the one that stayed behind, sat in the house while Martha went out and met Jesus. Now Mary had come to where Jesus was and saw him. She fell at his feet saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her were also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And Jesus said, Where have you laid him? He asked. Lord, come and see, they replied. And then I need you to pay attention to the next two words that are going to be said in verse 35. When they replied and said, let me go back to this to make sure I say this correctly. Lord, where have you laid him? He asked. Lord, come and see, they replied. Verse 35, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. He did not brush past the pain of Martha and Mary. He entered into it. He was moved and he wept. Who knows that sometimes Jesus calms the storm and other times he climbs into the boat with us. If you're walking through grief, if you're walking through confusion, if you're walking through disappointment, listen, he may not change your situation. He may not change it right away. But here's what we know. He will meet us right in the middle of it all. He will be present with us. And the other thing we need to understand is Jesus is not distant. He does not keep his distance from us. He is not indifferent to the things going on in our life. Instead, he is present and he feels what you feel. He understands what you're going through right now. Now we realize that Jesus may not always fix the pain. He may not always come and make it all good and better. The image I just had was a kid who scraped their knee and, oh, mommy, I need a kiss, right? Anybody's kids? Anybody, right? Because the kiss just makes it all better, right? Takes all the burning and the stinging and the blood away. He may not always fix that pain, but here's the truth of it. He enters into it with us. What does that tell us? We're not doing it on our own. We are not by ourselves in it. And the reason that matters to us today is because of this truth. Because he is the resurrection and the life, even our deepest pain is not permanent. It won't always be like this. It won't always be this hard. There is a future beyond this moment. You may not be able to see it. You may be dealing with grief. There is a future beyond this moment today. Our third and final point of the day. Jesus calls us to believe. Jesus calls us to believe. See, in verse 25, Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live," in verse 26, "and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? He asked Martha, "Do you believe this?" Directly. He just made this statement, and then he says directly to Martha, "Do you believe this?" Even though that the miracle hadn't happened yet, nothing took place besides showing up on the scene, what he was doing is he was inviting her to have faith. He is inviting us to have faith today because it is personal. He didn't ask her, "Do you understand me?" He didn't say, "Do you agree with me?" He said to her, he asked her, "Do you believe this?" Let's let that question linger for a second for those of us here today. Do you believe this? Not just with your words, but with your trust. Do you believe this? This is more than just a mental agreement. It's more than just saying, "Yeah, I agree. That's a great thing to say." But instead, it's placing trust in Jesus during confusion, grief, and delay. And I can testify that those are some of the hardest moments to place more faith in Jesus when you feel like you're on an island by yourself walking through what you're walking through. And if we all wanted to be honest, we've all been there. But let's keep this in mind. Lazarus wasn't raised yet. Lazarus is still in the tomb. The tomb is still closed up. What was taking place is Jesus was requiring belief before the breakthrough would come. Belief had to be present before breakthrough could be present. Martha responds with one of, if not, the most powerful confessions of faith in the New Testament. This is found in verse 27. She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." There's no miracle yet. There's nothing besides Jesus' statement and him saying, "Do you believe this?" And Martha responds, "Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Amongst her grief, Jesus met her, gave her truth, and asked her, "Do you believe that?" Because what else matters? There's nothing. The belief in Christ Jesus is the sole thing that we need to have. Who knows that we don't go to heaven based off of our good looks or our ability to do something well? I can't tie my shoe well half the time. If I'm relying on that, I'm not going to heaven. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. It is through him and him alone. There is nothing else that takes place. There's nothing else that matters here." So there is no miracle in front of Martha right now, but it's just Jesus in front of her. And guess what? That was enough. That was enough for her to be in the presence of Jesus. My question for you today, is it enough for you? Is it enough? No matter what you're walking through, I'm going to encourage you today that Jesus is enough, because when you believe in the one, Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, you stop waiting for proof and you start living in peace. because we know He is in control. He has the whole thing taken care of. Because you know your pain, you know your loss, you know your brokenness, you know that it does not have the final word when you know the One who is the resurrection and the life, who is Christ Jesus. Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life, death isn't the end of your story. John chapter 20, verse 30 through 31. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, what we've just read about the interaction. Now, if you were to continue to read chapter 11, Jesus says what to Lazarus? Come forth, right? Lazarus comes back to life. He walks out of the grave. These things, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. Do you believe today? Do you believe this? What is Jesus asking you to believe right now? In your situation, what is He saying? Do you believe? Are you responding by stepping out in faith and making a confession the same way that Martha did in verse 27? Or are you waiting for proof? Jesus says to you this morning, do you believe this? How are you responding? Jesus didn't arrive early to prevent Lazarus' death. We all know He could have done that. But He arrived later to show us that His presence is enough. His presence is all matters, that His timing is perfect. And listen, that's the hardest thing to hear, that His timing is perfect, because we might be in the depths of what we think is the worst thing that we have ever walked through our life. We're wondering why Jesus isn't showing up and just being our hero and taking care of things. But in reality, He's asking us, do you believe this? Do you believe that His presence is enough? So I'm going to ask you today, is His presence enough in your life that no matter what happens, He's enough? Is He enough for you? Or are you waiting for some kind of proof to say, okay, now I think I can trust You? Spend some time reading this. John chapter 20 just told us that these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that by believing in His name, you will have life. I know that's not exactly how I said it, but that's how I'm going to say it this morning. So I don't know where you're at. I don't know what everybody's walking through here, but I know there's hope in no other place than in the person of Christ Jesus. And if you need to have an understanding of who He is, may I submit to you that you need one of these. And if you don't, raise your hand. I've got Bibles in the back that I've bought, and I'm just itching to give out to people. Where does life begin? In Christ Jesus. And how do we meet Him? Through a confession of faith. But how do we learn about Him? You've heard me talk about our relationship, and how do you grow a relationship, right? If you're married, you don't know your spouse without spending time with your spouse. If you just have friends in here today, you don't know your friends unless you spend time with your friends. You don't know Jesus if you don't spend time with Jesus. Get one of these. He also arrived later to show us that His power extends past death. His power extends past delay, and His power extends past disappointment. Now, He may not fix every broken situation the way we expect. Who can testify to that? That the Lord didn't do it the way I thought He would, but He did it His way. But we can have faith that He gives life when there is none. He gives life when there is no hope. He brings hope when we've lost all hope. What we need to understand is He defeats death. Completely. He defeats it. Jesus says, and we affirm here at this church, Jesus says that He is the resurrection and the life. And knowing that, church, simply changes everything. It changes everything. Jesus did not come to give a temporary fix. He came to give us what? Eternal life with Him. Communion with Him. That is why we can say with confidence the same thing I said in the beginning that I want you to wrestle with. Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life, I know that death is not the end of my story. That truth is what drives everything we do as believers in Christ Jesus. Here at Engage Church, we don't just believe in what Jesus can do. We believe in Jesus and who He says He is. And today He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Some of you need resurrecting today. Some of you need some life today. Here in a moment, you're going to have a chance to respond to that. Because He is the resurrection and the life, it means this, that we're not here to go through the motions. We're not here just to check off church off of our list today. We want to see people come alive in Christ. We want to see broken faith restored. We want to see family strengthened. We want to see marriages reconciled. We want to see the body of Christ in unity. And we want to see people walking in the purpose that God has for them. I feel like I'm just getting started. Our mission is simple here. We are engaging our community for Jesus. We carry the hope of the resurrection. If you are a Christian, guess what? You have and you know the hope of the resurrection. You have it. We carry the hope of the resurrection into our town, into our homes, into our neighborhoods, into our conversations, into our spheres of influence. If you've been here any amount of time, you've heard me say that dozens of times now. Because Jesus is still calling people out of the grave. Do you believe that this morning? He is still calling people out of the grave. If you would you just stand with me this morning? I told you were going to have a moment to be able to respond. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to just speak to you in your situation right now. Jesus is still calling the dead to life. I firmly believe that. If you're spiritually dead, if you need resurrecting, today is the day. Today is the day to believe in the resurrection and the life, Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, if you know it, say it with me, you will be saved. So right now in this moment, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if that is you, if you would like to respond to that this morning, would you just raise your hand right where you're at, put it up, let me see it, put it back down. Is there anybody here today? Praise the Lord. So after Jesus looked at Martha, He looked at her in the eye after He made His statement, and he said this, do you believe this? And I firmly believe that He is asking us that same question right now in this moment. He's not asking you, do you go to church? He's not asking, do you know the right answers? Instead, He asks, do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? Some of you right now, you're standing in a place of grief. You're standing in a place of confusion or delay. You're waiting to see the breakthrough. You're waiting to experience the breakthrough. Your prayers, they have been unanswered. The situation, it still looks dead. But Jesus is here. Jesus is here. And he's not asking you to wait for the outcome. He's asking you to trust him now. He's asking you to put that belief in him. Because he is the resurrection and the life, even your deepest pain, listen, is not permanent. It won't always be like this. There is a future beyond the moment that you're walking. So if you're here today and you want to confess your faith as Martha did, and you're prepared to surrender to him, if you want to place your belief and follow him, listen, as an act of saying, yes, Lord, I want to do this, I invite you today, come to the altar. As the worship team plays, flood the altar. If you're saying, I agree with the same confession that Martha has made, but this is your moment right now to answer the question that Jesus asked Martha, do you believe this?